This is a CBC podcast. This is a CBC podcast.
This is Mic Drop.
Mic Drop?
It's about us.
Teens and our stories and what we've been through.
What we are still going through.
Without any adult interruptions.
Testing.
Testing.
Mic will drop in 5, okay. 4, 3, 2.
Drop the mic.
I've never held a mic before, and this feels good, actually.
People draw swastikas on everything. On my desk, on my books, on, like, someone drew one on a test. When I was, like, looking away, they drew one on a test, and then I handed the test in, and the teacher was like, what is this? And it was a disaster. I do find that swastikas just litter the halls at our school. It's a real issue. When I see all these things, it's really discouraging because, you know, it's definitely creating an atmosphere at the school that makes it clear that it's not a place for everyone. And that's not a message that I know the school wants to enforce or that many individuals in the school want to enforce, but it is kind of the culture that's been created. And it's very difficult to have to get up and go 5 days a week to a place where, you know, a lot of them really actually hate you. I wasn't born in my community, and I am kind of what they consider an outsider or someone who doesn't really belong. I moved here when I was 7 years old, and now I'm 16. I live in a very rural town, so, you know, a lot of, like, agriculture. Everyone kind of knows each other. There's only a population of like 25,000 people in like the whole area. So it's a very tight-knit community. People have been here for many, many generations. Very, very old-fashioned. So having moved here when I did, it was already kind of a challenge trying to fit in. And then adding on to that, the fact that my family is also one of like 3 Jewish families in our area. There's kind of a lot of ignorance surrounding that. For example, there was a group of boys in my class in grade 9 who, whenever they talked to me, it would be like, how are you doing? Like, what did you do? What did you eat for lunch today? But like saying Jew instead of you, right? So at first I thought they just weren't speaking very clearly, but then it became clear that it was very deliberate. And it was actually very disappointing seeing some of my teachers' reactions to that. I had one teacher say, oh no, they're just being clever, like let them play around with words, when they were saying, how are you doing today? So that obviously wasn't constructive or helpful. I think I actually remember the very first time that someone threw a coin at me. It was in grade 9. My locker was in like a distant corner of the high school. Everyone who had lockers in that area was like in grade 12. So I was already terrified of them because they were so much older than me. And yeah, a couple of the boys kind of walked over to me and they just stood next to my locker. And I was like, hi. And one of them just like dropped a loonie at my feet and said, pick it up. And then he walked away. I didn't really understand what was going on. So, I mean, I picked it up because that's a dollar, right? One of my teachers heard me and my friends talking about it later and he was horrified. And he explained to me the significance of that. His wife is Jewish, so he has been a good support system. And he just said to me, like, you know what that means? And I was like, no, not really. And he was like, well, you know, like, in England, hundreds of years ago, Jews weren't really allowed to do any jobs. The only things they could do was, like, banking. So there's now a negative connotation surrounding Jews and money. And there's stereotypes that, you know, Jews are rich or we're all bankers or and things like that. So yeah, he just kind of explained the significance of that. And yeah, it was quite devastating knowing that people were reading into that. And then in grade 10, I think was kind of when that reached its peak because we read The Merchant of Venice. The Merchant of Venice touches on a lot of issues surrounding anti-Semitism. So the kids had a lot of questions, and from that, they they managed to draw their own conclusions surrounding the whole Jews and money thing. And then, so then it was like people in my own class who also started like throwing coins at my feet as well in the hallway. I remember when I first got Instagram and I started getting some really, really hateful comments and messages on Instagram, I would just like cry for hours because I had no idea why everybody hated me at that point. It was really, really difficult when it was first happening. It's taken me years to, like, it's kind of sad, but like get used to it. There were a few weeks in grade 10 when I didn't have a 5-day week for like several months because I just could not be there 5 out of 7 days and hear people say awful things and have coins thrown at my feet and swastikas drawn on my books. So, you know, there would be days when I just had to tell my parents, who were very understanding, you know, like, I can't go to school today. I would use those days to do homework, play with my dog. You know, it was definitely just like a mental health kind of day.
Hello, baby.
I think I missed like 17 days of school in grade 10, and it was all within like 2 months of just not being able to go and deal with it every day. I know for a large majority of the people who have been kind of problematic, it's really just ignorance because that's what they've heard for their whole lives in such a closed off and secluded community. But for some of them, that is very deeply ingrained in their belief systems that Jews are evil. And, you know, they don't hesitate to say that to my face either. At first, I would get pretty worked up about it, like just blowing up in their faces with having like whole fights in the hallways and teachers having to step in and be like, you two need to walk away. So I think the turning point was grade 10 civics. So our teacher was talking about like the judicial system in Canada, and this boy literally turns around and goes, judicial, you guys own that too. And I was like, that doesn't even, it was, I was like, he's just grasping at straws here. Like, they'll find any excuse to try to start a fight or to try to hurt me. And I was like, I'm just kind of done with being hurt. So I was talking to my friends about it, and they suggested that I kind of draft an email and reach out to my guidance counselor and the administration at my school. So that's when I kind of started, like, you know, trying to do something about it as opposed to just turning the other cheek. I started by writing an email to my guidance counselor, and he called me down as soon as he got it. Like, he called me out of class and he was absolutely distraught. He was like, I cannot believe this is happening. He marched me into the principal's office. He was like, look at this, like, this is a disaster. And the principal was like, this is a disaster. And neither of them really knew what to do about it because our school doesn't really have diversity. Like, everyone looks the same. So neither of them really knew how to go about it, but it was good to at least have them on board and kind of aware of the situations. Yeah, from there I worked with them. The principal started working with the staff more at staff meetings. I would send him like pictures of things that I got on social media and keep him updated, and he would keep the staff updated. And I did notice that they started to become more alert in their classes, and they were responding to these incidents as they were arising, which was good to see. In the summer between grade 10 and grade 11, I wrote like a little piece that I had published in local newspapers and that my dad posted on Facebook that kind of outlined all of my experiences within this community. The message I was trying to get across in that was kind of raising awareness about the us versus them mentality that exists within my community and encouraging people to kind of dig into themselves and kind of see what kind of belief systems they might be holding and how those could be altered. How are the conversations that they're having with their friends in front of their children that then they're listening to and picking up on those things, like just trying to be aware of what we're doing and how that is having an impact on people. So I was expecting, you know, a lot of hate and a lot of backlash, I did get that as well. I got a lot of people telling me to, you know, just leave and this isn't a message people need to hear. But overwhelmingly, the majority of people were very, very supportive of the message I was trying to get across. And I had people, you know, thanking me for starting this conversation. And I actually, you know, I would hear people in like my day-to-day life actually talking about it. Like, I was at a cafe with one of my friends and the waitress was like, "Oh my gosh, I read your piece in the newspaper. That's so amazing that you're talking about that." And like, I'd never spoken to this woman before, but she, you know, she actually had read it and she cared about it, and I think it had an impact on her. And being able to make that connection with a complete stranger over something like that was really excellent. I had like rabbis from like other cities emailing me being like, "You're a great leader," so that was really cool. I loved that. And yeah, the kind of school board that my school is a part of also took notice of that. The trustee for my area got in touch with the director of education, and he and I had some really excellent conversations. And through those conversations, they started the process of getting a bill passed at the school board that's like an anti-racism policy. It's not really specific to Jews or anything like that. It's, you know, all racial and ethnic minorities within the school board. It's just making sure that there are systems in place basically within the schools to deal with these things when they're brought forward, because that was a big thing I noticed, that there was no system when I first came out about this. People had no idea how to go about it. There was no protocol. So it's kind of just reinforcing the need for that to happen. And also it brings up some good points about like training for teachers and things like that, which, you know, they may have, but if they do, it's minimal at this point. So yeah, it's very broad, but it addresses a lot of very important issues. So that's really good. I have noticed a very great shift in the attitudes of people at my school. There are obviously still the individuals who aren't going to change, and I've very much given up on trying to get them to. But, you know, the people who are kind of in the middle, or who were just kind of listening to their friends and going off of what was happening around them, have been very quick to change their tune. And I've had people who were once throwing coins at my feet come up to me and apologize directly for that. And, you know, now some of the people who I would call my good friends, who were once people who didn't hate me but were willing to go along with what their friends were doing. And seeing that the people in my community are strong enough to kind of try to break away from that once they've been told that it's hurting people is really great to see, for sure. I've definitely gone from a point in grade 7 and 8 and even 9 when I, you know, would never stand up for myself, to a point now where I really value speaking out for what you believe in. I think it's really important to be able to stand up, even if you think you're going to get a lot of backlash. I mean, obviously don't put yourself in a situation where you're safety is at risk, but being able to stand up for what you believe in is really important, and it can make a difference even if you don't really think it's going to. Even if it's just making a difference for one or two people, that's more than would have changed if you hadn't said anything at all. If you need help and you're willing to go looking for it, you're going to find somebody who is going to help you. And that's something that I've learned through this whole thing that I didn't know a year ago. And it's definitely one of the most powerful things, because I know now, no matter what kind of situation I'm in, even if I don't have people near me who are going to help me, if I reach out to a broader population, there is going to be somebody who's willing to step up and take on that role.
Mic Drop is produced in Montreal by Sherry OKK and Carrie Haber.
For CBC Podcasts and PRX Tracks. Associate producer is Ellen Payne Smith. We'd love to hear from you. On Instagram, we're at CBC Mic Drop.
You can also reach us by email at micdrop@cbc.ca.
Bye for now.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.